Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 68, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, February 4th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Jack O'Brien potatoes. If it's wild, he lets you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, smoking in the street, gonna be a high. Miles of Gray, got blunts in my face, blast off into space, some second rate podcast dropping all the fire takes, sing it daily, daily, zeitgeist, come on!
All right.
Oh,
oh no.
I thought we were going to keep going, man.
Nah, I didn't have a second verse.
Okay.
That one came from you know who, Hannah Soltis, at Soltis Hannah.
She's so good. Mine came from Christopher Lang. Hey, Chris.
Oh.
Chris and that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Lang. Yeah. Right, I was just talking to Chris.
Were you?
No.
I don't even know who that is.
I just like that name. Right, sounds like a good person.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and performer, Danny Fernandez.
Dan, she's our man. If she can't do it, no one can.
Yeah.
No one can.
No one can.
Not like that.
I
not
also
a soul.
Like that I'm the man.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Something to think about. It's a layered AK.
Well, I like being that I can be a king and a queen. Like,
yeah,
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
You run shit.
You're a Danimal.
I run.
Fuck
yeah,
titles.
Thank you.
I run shit. That's mm-hmm. all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, Danny?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. Thank
good
you.
To see you.
You know, I'm in here once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a
but
podcast
we're like ships
here.
In the night, though.
Yeah.
Because you record later.
We're
in
nighttime.
Yeah. You're
peeps.
Night owls.
We are.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Well, we're gonna catch up with you a little bit more in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners to go and continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, everybody who has rated and reviewed us over these past 2 days, but we're still under-reviewed.
Yeah,
we're still,
and Moraka has been
Moraka still got
texting
us.
Jack like, ha-ha, get your reviews
still
up,
ain't got
punk.
Me. So yeah, screen cap your review, share it with us. If it's entertaining, we'll shout you out. Second of all, we're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. Oh, we got so much to cover, you guys. Oh. It was a wild weekend. At the end of last week, Cory Booker entered the game. We're going to talk about how Trump is starting to lose evangelicals, Harry Potter Beer Fest. Just that's a thing. Mitch McConnell finally just admitting that it's bad for Republicans when people vote. Facebook being awful. Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family being awful.
Oh, the cliffhanger.
DNA testing companies
being awful?
Being chill.
Ah!
No, being awful.
Well,
we'll see. Depends on how you feel about your DNA being shared with the FBI. All of that and more. But first, Danny, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Yeah, so this was very revealing about myself. Not just me, but like the world as a whole, I want to say.
Oh, no.
Taking a different direction.
Okay.
I, this weekend, wanted to watch The Poltergeist. I love that film. And so I was typing, but it's not on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, actually, I think starting in February it is. So I had to pay for it because I wanted to watch it in January. So anyway, so I typed in watch P, like to find where I could get it. And before
porn.
It populated, no, before it populated, the first search was not porn. It was watch people die. That's
oh,
the
damn,
first
Danny.
Search. No, that's not mine. That's not
were
mine.
You on a library computer?
That's not my. I've
Google
never,
knows who
oh,
is
whoa,
searching.
Yeah,
at
I,
all.
I just
Look,
did watch
thank
P.
Thank you.
It
thank
said
you.
Watch people die. Second one, watch Patriots game.
Yes, thank you. Those
wow.
are very close.
I wanna, oh, is it because die. Of the subreddit?
Is
I
it?
I know there's that one because that.
Okay, so
wild.
I want to clarify. I have never typed in "watch people die," but when you type in "watch pee," I mean that's what
yeah.
that's what populates.
Yeah,
I've
damn.
Also
I got Patriots game first because Google knows I'm a Patriots fan, mm-hmm. but people die is my second.
That
one.
Is, I want to say, very telling of this world as a whole.
Yeah.
And so when I did finally type in watch Poulter, I didn't even get to Geist. The first thing that came up was Poltergeist 2. I was like, how is it? How is that more searched than the first Poltergeist?
That's wild.
Anyways.
How many years removed
They're
is the second
back.
Poltergeist?
I think it was only a couple years. It was like
oh, okay.
82, 86.
It says 86 is when
86.
The second one came out. Okay.
This
yeah.
is some purge shit. I mean, that was interesting to me to discover about humanity as a whole
yeah.
on
yeah.
the weekend when I just wanted to watch a scary film.
Yeah.
Some people's gonna die, or whatever that phrase
yeah.
is. third is watch Arty, which at first I was like, oh, that's the saddest thing. Just people watching a party.
On Twitch.
But I think it's actually like...
A watch party?
Yeah, how to have a watch party.
That's sadder. You have to Google that.
Right. How do I have people watch? How do I have friends?
How to chill out with people.
This is one of my favorite things to do, though, is look at what Google suggests, because that is the most just tells you what
people are
our collective mind is thinking.
Videos, do you think it's weird that watch porn was not? But I don't think people are typing
watch porn stuff.
I think people just do porn.
Yeah, I also don't think I think people know the places to go. I don't know if they're necessarily watch the porn. How do I do that?
They go to sublimedirectory.com.
Watch people.
How to log on to the Facebook.
How to use the Facebooks.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Okay, so everybody that I've seen on the East Coast that is dealing with the horrible, horrible weather.
And the Midwest.
But what I've seen a trend on is everyone that's shitting on Los Angeles for not dealing with it. Like, you got a rainstorm.
Yeah.
When they totally forgot that we just had our lungs burned up from wildfires for several months, and we're going to do that all over again in a couple months.
Yeah.
So that was horrific for us. So I just think it's funny that people are like, it's so easy in Los Angeles with your weather. Our house is burnt down and I had to go to the doctor because of how bad the smoke was.
Wild headaches and shit,
Yeah.
I was wearing a fucking mask riding a bike.
Me too. I had to order masks. I now have air, which I highly filter. Mm-hmm. I had to get one of, there's specific ones that you're supposed to get for wildfires. And then I had to stay in a hotel the year before. So anyways.
Yeah, look, people act like we will it to the weather to be so cool, so we're to blame for living here.
Right.
Look, but my parents they fucked here. And that's how I live here. Okay?
Same.
So that's the problem.
I get it.
I think, but it also, whenever people endure shit, you also kind of need that to make you feel a little bit stronger. Like, I'm dealing with this fucking,
chill. You guys are crying about lightning.
We're all going to die from ground zero disease or whatever.
Yeah, we're all... we're all being affected by climate change is what I'm saying. And so just catch our ass in 3 months when we're tweeting about our wildfires.
Yeah, or the earthquake that has just cracked the city in half.
Yeah, there's nothing more hopeless than, you feel so trapped when there's a wildfire and you just can't breathe the air outside. You're just like, shit.
Especially when you can see it and you're like, ooh.
And when you have kids,
tell kids to not touch shit because I need to fucking rinse all this shit off.
Yes.
Because you can't interact with these things.
So... put that in your
we get it. Everyone wants to
don't smoke it because you might start a wildfire.
Who is experiencing more pain?
What is something you think is overrated?
I think DVDs and Blu-ray are overrated. One of my friends,
Okay. I think HD DVD is overrated. I don't think it's going anywhere.
I mean, I have a friend of mine that just has shelves of Blu-rays, and I just think it's cluttered. Like, I don't know. I'm not on some Marie Kondo shit or whatever. I always thought that it was too much. Like, you can watch that stuff you can buy it online.
Right.
And own it forever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, this podcast does not publish in 1997, right?
I think they're going to get tired of it. I'm just saying it now.
No, listen, but it's still a huge thing. I guess maybe I'm adjacent to y'all because I'm in film Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And film, so they think that film should be watched in a certain way and obviously seen on screen.
The steelbook version?
Yeah, and then Blu-ray and especially, the superhero people, the people that are super into they get the Blu-ray of
the
Infinity
HD,
War.
Right.
Yes, exactly. And I'm just like, it does look different, but does it really matter? Like, do you need this many?
Do you have
Blu-rays
a home theater to justify? I get if you're watching on something over 100 inches, you'd
people,
be like, I need
so,
that 4K.
It's so funny y'all said that it's not a big deal because people will probably write you about, it is a big deal to Blu-ray people,
right.
DVD and Blu-ray people.
No, I'm probably I'm
Jack just said his Twitter to private.
I'm exposing how old I am because this is probably making a comeback that I was I'm still thinking about the old school DVD collection.
But I think of I used to hoard DVDs too because that was the flex. You know what I mean? That was a physical manifestation of your film taste that you could gesture to and be like, I got that. And you'd be like, oh, you never see City of God?
Right.
I got you.
I own City of God.
Yeah, everybody should.
Everybody should.
If you were an early aughts cool person. But Yeah, I see now. We were just talking about how, like, that service Ultraviolet, which is like, you know, you get a code if you bought a DVD, so you have, like, cloud-based storage of a film. They're going out of business because we're moving away from physical media. And part of me understands, like, why you want the physical thing there, because I do look at, like, DVDs that are in a garage that I have that I'm like, oh, man, we had some good times. But then in my mind, I'm like, I can summon this instantly on the internet. So
I sell all of mine. I get sent some too, and I just sell them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't need the. And it's so funny because people are like, oh, I want to win this Blu-ray. I'm like, what? I'm like, cool. Sure. Like, I'd rather win the code to just watch
You're
it
like,
on
Yo,
my
Yo,
thing.
Here's a link to a BitTorrent file.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm sure people, Blu-ray people.
And you sell the SAG screeners too, you were saying.
Yeah. Just like, don't make it hot. Don't make it hot.
Yeah, yeah. Out of the back of your car. I think I saw you the other day.
Look, it's the same way. Like, I like to collect vinyl records because that's my thing is sort of like, yo, when the great solar flares happen and knock out all the electricity, I can have a hand cranked vinyl gramophone type thing and I can still listen to J Dilla while the world collapses.
Yeah.
But you can't use a CD, can't use an MP3.
Yeah.
But I guess we need, like, what, like, an actual film is the only, like, true analog form if you, but then you need the audio. Forget it. Forget my doomsday scenario media man.
But that's interesting to me that, Miles, you are okay with, like, records and analog and shit like that because you have one of the most attuned ears, like, I've ever witnessed. You'll be like, is there, like, a 0.6 split, a millionth of a second lag?
I'm like, I think there's a little bit of my low voice, end missing from my monitors here.
Yeah, yeah, but it doesn't bother you to listen to
vinyl? Well, vinyl has its own vibe, you know?
It's got a warmer sound.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, I guess also, I think it's just also because I used to DJ.
Right.
So I have, like, an affinity for with records. I just like to have them around. But, yeah, I mean, look, if we're going to go there, like, you know, you should be rocking some FLAC files, you know, and have your super high fidelity setup going like the dad in, what was that movie? What was the HBO special?
High Fidelity?
No, remember the, with Amy Adams.
Oh, Sharper Objects.
Sharper Objects. Remember her stepdad, right?
It's Sharper Objects. It's just Sharp Objects.
Sharper Image Catalog.
Sharper Image Catalog.
I'm conflating Sharper Image Catalog with Sharp Objects. Sharper Objects where it's all about the tech. No, but remember the stepdad character, his stereo system?
And I mean, he made that look cool. He was a cool character who you want to identify with.
Right, but it was more the fact that, like, a bunch of, like, audiophiles, like, clocked it and were like, yo, that is an $80,000 stereo that guy has.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, see, if you're really on that audiophile shit,
people are really into it.
You're dropping a Tesla worth of fucking audio equipment in your house.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, you already teased to us before we recorded what your myth is going to be. And guys, hold on to your butts.
Yeah. And your floppy ears.
I am, so there's this huge meme kind of and accounts that are being shared that are saying that Goofy is a cow. And it bugs the shit out of me. I always come in with Goofy news, so I have to. It's being shared by this site started it called Mouse Links and then Real Rundown as well. And I've seen it be shared thousands of times. And it's essentially like, how old were you when you realized Goofy was actually a cow and not a dog? Right. And everyone's like, oh my God, I was today years old.
Right.
You know, and everyone's just like eating it up. And in it, they even say, Disney's establishment isn't telling you that Goofy is really a cow, to be specific, an Aberdeen Angus cattle, a fact that Disney would love to cover up considering that Goofy's natural origin is anything but American in 1939 with American nationalism at a historic high. Like, so they actually took time to write this out.
To write up a fake background.
And people are eating it up. Like, people keep sending it to me like, Danny, did you know this?
Why the fuck would you think he looks like a cow, though?
They put him next to Clarabelle, who is a cow.
Okay. But she has a cow nose.
Yes, thank you.
And he has a little puppy nose.
Yeah, and so they put him next to Clarabelle. And I researched this, y'all, because I, being a Disney person, I'm a very healthy, stable adult. Horace, horse caller, who is talking to Clarabelle, is a horse.
Uh-huh.
Like that I could see, not Goofy. Goofy, I think, has maybe had a relationship with Clarabelle. I don't know. I don't judge him.
Yeah.
But he is 100% a dog. Things that people don't know, though, is that Pete, you know, Pete, like, kind of his friendly rival who has PJ. You know how Goofy has Max and Pete has PJ?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The Pete, big, like, gnarly dude who wears a bowler hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete is a cat. So I think everyone thinks in the Goofy movie universe that Pete is a dog. Pete is actually a cat and has been a cat since, like, I guess, Steamboat Willie or whatever. But he is, in fact, a cat.
Been a cat.
He's a kind of was a rival of Mickey Mouse, and it makes sense that he was kind of made to be this bully.
Yeah, I mean, he looks nasty.
Goofy is not a cow. If you see that meme, please strike that person down.
Yeah, and just hit him with the Snopes article. That Snopes had to just come out and be like,
Snopes had to come out.
He's a dog.
Because so many people have been tweeting about it. I respect the person that did the trolliness of this.
Right.
I think, though, when it starts to be people really believing it, though, that, like, not just as a joke, but people were legitimately like, I had no
this
idea.
This is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is dangerous misinformation.
Fake news.
Yeah.
This is dangerous to Disney as a whole.
And yes. I would, and I don't want to say this, but this could contribute to Trump's reelection.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say that. I'm going out there.
I mean, speaking of Trump and Disney, it is interesting to note all the design similarities between Mickey Mouse and old minstrel cartoons. So that's something to look into. That's a little skeleton in the Disney closet that...
the racist Disney closet.
But yeah, keep worrying about whether...
I don't know. I love Disney. So
I know.
So it's one of them things.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to, hey, I'm not trying to make it hot for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Disney's tight. For the record.
Yes. Mm-hmm. For the record.
No heat here.
Let's talk about Cory Booker, guys.
Yeah.
He has entered the game.
A new player has entered the game, and it is Cory Booker telling everybody from the start of Black History Month, he's throwing his hat in the ring, running for president. He's obviously, we've known this was coming because he's been doing all kinds of tours, and, you know, Jimmy Carter's like, I think you should run for president.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was, and Jimmy Carter looked happy, and that made me happy.
Good.
But yeah, I mean, look, we knew it was coming. He's got a solid progressive record in terms of his voting record in the Senate, fan of Medicare for All and, like, federal jobs guarantee, and is, like, really into bipartisanship, like, really, really into, like, he really wants to find a way to work across the aisle.
Right.
Even though he's mostly working with, like, the only black Republican, Tim Scott. He's like, look, we can figure something out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's got a good heart. I think the really, again, the shit he's going to get hammered on from the left is going to be his, he loves him some Wall Street and the financial sector. Mm-hmm. They love him back. Him and Chris Christie love each other too.
Oh, no.
And Big Pharma, because there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies based in New Jersey. So he's got a bit of a relationship with them. But, you know, like we said, no one's perfect, and we'll see what he comes out with. But he did, like, I mean, if you think about the last year he had a pretty good criminal justice reform bill he pushed through the Senate that had some good things. Some people, you know, critics will say it didn't go far enough. I think that's true, but it's definitely something good.
Right.
So, you know, we shall see.
Have people kind of interviewed him about bipartisanship with regards to Obama? Like, that was Obama's whole thing, is like, we're not the blue states or the red states, were the United States of America.
Right.
And that ended up being a hindrance to his ability to get shit done when he was the president, because the Republicans were just like, no, nothing gets passed by this president because he's, you know, a Democrat and black.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not heard anything specifically. I mean, he's just starting to do a ton of interviews and things like that.
I love that he already has sponsors, because this was tweeted by Hot Pockets that says, don't forget about us when you get elected. And it's him holding a Lean Pocket.
He's just a fan? All right.
What
all
the fuck?
But you know what? Hot Pocket already laying down their presidential candidate.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Already Hot Pocket stepping in the ring.
Wow, an endorsement from Hot Pocket. That's actually a big deal. In the,
you know what? Think about all
predicted the last five presidential elections.
Yep.
It's who's taller and who gets endorsed
and
by
Olympic
Hot Pockets.
Gold medal counts, they've predicted. Hopefully he's not in the Hot Pocket of the Nestle Food Company.
Wow.
All right.
So
he's not the best in the biz for nothing.
No,
guys.
You can hit it, Nick.
Wow. Come on,
give
Nick.
Me that.
Come
there on. We
Thank
go.
You,
Thank
sir.
You, sir.
Meanwhile, in other 2020 news, Trump is starting to lose some support amongst evangelicals. Just a little bit, just a tiny bit, 7% from 73% approval down to 66%. But it is a welcome shift that I think we've just been waiting for. Like, when is this gonna happen?
Right, because he's not really proud. He's not made good on, like, he's like, you know, abortion is gonna be over forever.
Right.
And I mean, his attacks on the LGBTQ community have been pretty, I'm sure, excited the evangelical crowd. Mm-hmm. But it could be just between his just sort of utter inability to govern properly,
right,
and get things done legislatively may be a reason for the sink in numbers, but damn, even 66%? That is fucking That's still too much. Scary song.
It was. It's weird that it was even there to begin with, given his lifestyle and history.
Right. Well, but that's
it's like the least. I mean, I know that they're not. That's not why they're following him. But right. for them
wedge
to have this like
issues.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, they're just. They're all about those wedge issues of abortion and you know, gay rights.
That... Well, and I think they over. I think we sort of spoke too about why evangelicals specifically, not just religious people, but evangelicals specifically are, you know, were able to dismiss or look past his, you know, affairs and lying and just sort of terrible way he had, like, just way he has no respect for women.
Uh-huh.
Is just sort of like a lot of the thinking in the evangelical community is all about tradition and keeping
right.
things the same. So that means women should still be just below men.
Right.
So there's still that, like, I think rocking for him. And I think that's just, he's tapping into that, which
yeah.
allows him to be like, nah, I mean, look, nobody's perfect.
As the Bible suggests, women deserve to be treated like shit by men, right?
Yes.
Yes. But at the same time, nobody likes to back a loser, and the fact that he hasn't been getting shit done and is turning out to be a disastrous fail president, I think is maybe, I think you're right, that it has more to do with that than anything having to do with Christian ethics.
No.
It's just people are like, did we back the wrong guy here? Making us look bad.
Yeah.
And finally, we want to talk about the Harry Potter Beer Fest, you guys.
The beer fest I didn't know people needed.
Yes, it's well, that's why I was saying that Harry Potter is to an entire generation like what they have instead of rock music. It's like like our parents' generation would like go to the record store and like line up the night before to get a new album release.
Right.
And that's what like
or like outside the Tower Records for that Ticketmaster
right,
counter.
Exactly.
Like, I'm getting these Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah,
stands.
But Harry Potter was like the thing for an entire generation. I feel like so it makes sense that they would have a music festival of Harry Potter.
But beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beer. I mean, it's just a place for a bunch of people to get fucked up in a field, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, but. I think, you know, again, they're going after adult Potter fan bucks,
yeah.
which
right.
is fine. And, you know, they say it's going to be touring the U.S., so it'll be in Portland, Vegas, Denver, Seattle, Phoenix, Indianapolis, and Louisville.
Okay.
And, you know, that you're going to have tastings of what they say are over 20 winter pumpkin and holiday ales, including Snape's Lair of Secret Cider Potions and adult butter beer. And they'll have, like, the venue will be decorated to look like, you know, places from the book.
A lot of places have been doing that. Because we were talking about how they have Scum and Villainy here, which is the Star Wars
Mos
cantina.
Mos Eisley cantina, yeah.
Yeah, and then there also was it to the Max, like, what was that one? The
Max, yeah.
The Max.
The Saved by the Bell
The Saved
restaurant.
By the Bell. I mean, everyone's just capitalizing on nostalgia. And the fact that we can all drink now.
Yeah, right.
This
exactly.
is the generation. We finally hit it. We can
and,
drink.
Yeah, you've gotten out of the recession. Most of you have jobs now.
Right.
Some
so
of
you
us.
Can
yeah,
throw
yeah,
your
yeah.
money away at this beer.
And or you've lost your media job and you can
right.
throw your money away
right.
now
throw
getting drunk.
Your unemployment away at this. But I like that they say there'll be activities include a Hagrid photo op and live music from Slytherin Sisters and DJ Dumbledore.
Oh,
I
no.
love this.
DJ Dumbledore.
Wow.
I wonder what his drop is like.
I wonder if Harry Potter musicians are like Christian musicians. Like they're just like a different sort
Nah, they're probably like, they probably had like a folk group. But they like love Harry Potter, and then they just pivoted. They're like, "What if we just changed our lyrics from 1, 2, 3, 4? I had sex with Dumbledore." Okay, yes, these are songs. I'm hoping those would be songs they sing, but I don't know.
All right,
I don't know what a Harry Potter band sounds like. I have a feeling it's just regular music with Potter lyrics.
It sounds right. like that bit that Bill Hader did on SNL. That was like, "And activities including the Hagrid photo op and live music from Slytherin Sisters and
right.
DJ Dumbledore."
Yeah, yeah.
Dumbledore. This place has everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah, good on them. I think Trilbo Swaggins will also be DJing there too.
That is a real DJ, isn't it?
That is a real DJ.
Oh, okay, cool.
But not a Harry Potter themed
no,
DJ.
No, but I just love that
just
name. When I saw
name.
That on a bill, I was like, yo, good on you.
And yes, I know Bilbo Baggins is not a Harry Potter character, guys, but you were talking about how J.K. Rowling is catching some heat for
rewriting lore.
Yeah, revisionisting her own history.
Yeah, I mean, the most popular one that just happened on National Trivia Day was when she said that muggles, before there was plumbing, would just like squat and relieve themselves and then vanish
oh, wow.
the evidence.
So you don't even have to have porta potties at these Harry Potter beer festivals.
I mean, they
you
would just drop trout.
Yeah, just shit wherever and make it disappear.
And so now there's a bunch of tweets. My favorite thing, like if you just look on Twitter and search J.K. Rowling, it's like all these people just like making fun of it. And it'll be like no one,
right.
nothing. And it'll be like J.K. Rowling, like Dobby didn't vote for the Iraq War. It'll just be something random like that.
Right.
Also,
right.
Did you say muggles? You meant wizards.
Oh, sorry. Right? What does this say? Before muggle plumbing, sorry.
Oh, before okay. Muggle plumbing.
Before muggle plumbing.
I wanted to save you from the wrath.
Thank you.
They're like, muggle. That's the one thing I do know.
Before right. Muggle plumbing.
Those are
methods.
Lames who don't fuck with magic.
Right. In the 18th century, witches and wizards simply relieved themselves wherever they stood and vanished the evidence.
I mean, this is kind of part of her trend of, like when she made Dumbledore...
queer.
Yeah, like Bohemian Rhapsody gay, where it was like he's inoffensively, you know, not...
But they don't show
right,
it.
Right, they don't show yeah. it at all. It's not actually
part of the character.
Did someone ask
her about it? Or did she I just come out and be like, well, oh yeah, he's gay. So there's that.
It was on a panel. It was on a panel, I think, I believe. Okay. And which is cool. But then, like, put it into something.
Yeah, so when
like,
you read it, you're
have
like,
it be
oh,
reflective.
You're representing like, this person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, that would be great if queer people could see themselves represented. It's not just an after fact.
Right.
Like, yeah. Oh, by the
an
way.
An asterisk in the back
yeah,
of the
Yeah, an asterisk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is a, but anyways, definitely take your time on Twitter and just Google her name and all of the people that are coming up with random.
Right.
Stuff.
I've always thought the wizarding world versus the muggle world is a good metaphor for what the South was prior to the Civil War because they were over dependent on, you know, slavery
wow.
and the cotton. That was like the only thing they did, and it was basically mm-hmm. their superpower, and they never had to learn how to do anything else. Uh-huh. And I feel like the wizarding world's similar. Uh-huh. They never, like, that's why they don't have any technology, mm-hmm. that's why they don't have science. And it still works out for them because magic is better than slavery. All right.
Holy shit. Woo. Wow. And you wrote that all on that side of a Tecate box. Cool.
I just blacked out. Where am I?
Your all right. Manifesto.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and Mitchie McConnell made a mistake and accidentally told the truth for, like, a sentence, I guess?
Yeah. So, you know, the Democrats have put a bill out. You know, they want to, I think it's a Restore Democracy Act, which is really popular with many people because it's just a bill that's trying to make it easier to vote, address a lot of just sort of, you know, weaknesses, like
right.
lobbying reforms and, like, better ethics and things like that.
Yeah, no gerrymandering.
Exactly. So things, shit that most people are like, yeah, this sounds good. Oh, wow. And let's make Election Day a federal holiday. So
yeah.
you have to go.
Who
like,
could possibly be against
right.
that?
Right. So now Mitch McConnell, who is runs the Senate,
right.
He chose to speak about this in a really odd way. So listen to him on the floor last week.
Their bill would make Election Day a new paid holiday for government workers.
Uh-huh.
And created an additional
pause for outrage.
Brand new paid leave benefit for up to 6 days for any federal bureaucrat who decides they'd like to hang out at the polls during any election.
Uh-huh.
That's what America needs, another paid holiday and a bunch of government workers being paid to go out and work. I assume our folks on our colleagues on the other side on their campaigns.
What?
So he seems to think that Americans are more anti-holiday than they,
yeah,
we really are. He's like, oh, just what we need more holidays.
It's easy for him to say because he doesn't have to like have a real job.
Yeah.
Anybody right. who's out here working, they're like, yes, another holiday, yeah, motherfucker. Man. Are you kidding me?
I love the assumption that everybody would be voting for this for liberals.
Right.
Though.
Well, because and then he's he goes on to just frame this as some kind of like far left power grab to just dismantle our democracy. What he's just doing is, like I said, he runs the Senate, right? So. It would probably get it out of the House because we have the majority in the House.
Right.
And then we'll move to the Senate where he could just be like, nah, fam.
Right.
We're not voting on this.
Right.
And just let that shit die. And he didn't have to give this thing air at all.
So why do you think he did?
I don't know. It's really weird because by him coming out against this so like sort of just like enthusiastically be like, oh, this nobody wants another holiday,
right.
government holiday. Like, yo, all you're saying is I'm scared shitless because this is a bill that would take away all of our fuckery cheat codes. We've been using
right.
the game shark of elections on this shit.
Right.
And they're trying to make us play by the rules. And if people are – if we make it easier for Americans to vote, then that means Democrats win.
Yeah.
It's essentially what the
yes.
thesis is of his argument. So I'm glad that you get it, that in a pure battle of arguments and ideas that – your dumb shit will lose out to the ideas of progressives.
Yeah.
So, again, but it's just a really weird thing for him to come out like, because, again, he could have just not said anything and just let this thing withered away.
Right. But he just assumes everybody hates time off and loves to work.
And also,
they're just evil Sauron soul creeps like him.
That they would just be chilling at the polls. That's what they would do.
Yeah, I'm taking my 6 days. Like, if these people who are apparently
just
taking,
hanging out at the polls.
Just like, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'm going to hang out at the polls and I'm going to intimidate the shit out of voters.
Right.
And these are government workers.
Yeah. And then I'll go back to my job at the EPA.
The scariest of all people, government bureaucrats.
How dare they get paid?
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, so, I part of me does, it warms my heart a little bit because it shows he's shooketh.
Yeah, right. He's scared.
He knows. And I think that's probably a way for him to ring the alarm to donors and the corporatocracy at large to be like, hey, we need to fight this thing with all our might. And these are kind of ideas that are going to dismantle, or not totally dismantle, but make it much harder for people to inject like corporate money into elections or carve out just ridiculous looking districts and gerrymandering to give yourself an unfair advantage and voter suppression, shit like that. So, yeah.
Do we still have Christopher Columbus Day? Didn't we have that still?
I think it's been changed to Indigenous People's Day.
Right? Yeah.
But when we made that change, we stopped giving people off.
Yes, that's what I mean. Could we take then, that's better. But like, I was going to say, if it still is being in some states, Christopher Columbus, like, can they just take that day? Can we get
President's
that day?
Day
yeah,
like,
or like one of these other days that we don't need.
It is a federally recognized holiday.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right.
October 14th.
And it's been officially changed, so it's not in, like, schools. They're not calling it Christopher Columbus Day.
I believe it's state by state.
Yeah, so that's what I mean, is that not all places have changed it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I remember that episode.
Just take that day.
In The Sopranos. When they were getting so
funny,
pissed,
man,
that the Native American activists were about to fuck up that Christopher Columbus statue.
Right.
And all the mobsters came out, they're like, this is our history.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people like Mitch McConnell who have a pulse on the fellow teen community, Facebook has tricked a bunch of teens.
And adults.
Yeah. Into using a VPN to basically get all of the data. Watching just everything that you do. They are drinking it up.
Yeah. They're marketing it as like, you know, like if you're going through Instagram stories or something, like, hey, do you want to participate in a paid social media research study? And then you would download this app and you wouldn't know Facebook had anything to do with it till you got like a few levels deeper into actually trying to use this software. And yeah, like you said, it just asks for root level access to your phone. So Facebook can access your emails, your messaging, your shopping, location based on like the information other apps are sending it. And it was, you know, like if you're a minor, we'd have to get parental consent. But what they do is give you $20 a month,
right,
plus $20 for every friend you referred. And they've been doing this since 2016. And then they just finally stopped because people started, like, Apple was like, hold the fuck up. What are you doing? And Google did something similar as well. And Apple had to just kind of smack them on the hand a little bit and be like, we like to control our app marketplace.
Apple is mad because it's...
They're like, we could have had that motherfucker.
Right, that's our data.
They're like, also, we might already be taking it. I don't know.
Right. Unfortunately for consumers, Facebook just announced their quarterly earnings, and they blew it out, bro. In Wall Street terms, they crushed it because apparently European and Asian growth is fueling an incredibly successful quarter for Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And so, we just have to vote with our wallet and vote with our online behavior, I guess.
Did y'all see, I don't know if you covered this already, but about how Apple was essentially, people could hear FaceTime before you accepted it?
Yes, did cover that.
I realize now a lot of angry texts I got. Oh, shit.
Who the fuck is this calling me? Yeah. I don't want to talk to them right now.
Fuck this idiot.
Hey, how's it going, Mom?
Oh, God, how are you?
Hey, Ma.
I know my mom's learning how to do that bug. Like, other concerned mothers are like, here's a way to hear how your child might be responding when they see your number come up.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some other people that we should be voting with our wallet against.
How do we vote against these people?
Purdue Pharma. Mm. They kind of have a cheat code as to how they get people to vote for them with their purchasing decisions. by getting them hopelessly addicted to their product. But so Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family, who is the family behind it, turns out they
are... Makers of OxyContin.
Yes, they're the makers of OxyContin. We've talked before about how they basically revolutionized the pharmaceutical advertising industry. That's sort of the Sackler family's innovation, was to
just outright lie about their product
and like make pharmaceutical advertising look like it was scientific and put it in medical journals and you know, get doctors on their side. It's just like very shady tactics to get people to prescribe their medication more rather than you know, making medication that solves people's problems, you know, using all the tricks of capitalism to get people to prescribe their drugs. And so we're learning more things about them. There was a 274-page civil complaint filed against Purdue in Massachusetts, where the opioid problem has, I mean, like most of America, has been terrible. And it had been mostly redacted, this complaint, but it was recently unredacted by a judge for like a brief period of time. And so ProPublica was able to get a look at it. And the things that you see in there is not a good look for the Sackler family.
I mean, everything prior to this was not a good look in general. From like that video where like they're all these people like, I took OxyContin and now my pain is gone and I'm not addicted. And then like a lot of people who appeared in that promotional video like ended up overdosing or becoming addicted. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then what sayest this unredacted thing now?
So this is just the actual like evidence. They have emails and communications between its internal correspondence from Purdue Pharma executives, members of the Sackler family, people on the board, talking about not only, you know, acknowledging the risk of opioid addiction and overdose, but then suggesting to just kind of put the pedal to the metal and keep getting, like, trying to get doctors to prescribe it at higher and higher doses. But then they also then were like, and you know what else is a growth industry in this, in the pharmaceutical world, is addiction medicine. We should invest in addiction medicine because the opioid crisis that we've caused, they didn't say that we've caused, is creating a bunch of addicts who then need to be treated. So we just take this whole world of problems that we're creating and just profit off of every single leaking part of it. And yeah, that's how their mind was working. Or how this company's board was thinking about the opioid crisis in the country.
It's really weird because I've seen both sides of this, because I have an autoimmune disorder, so I feel like I'm in and out of doctor's offices constantly. One thing that I do take, low-dose naltrexone, is naltrexone is a drug that they originally gave to addicts that were coming off of their... And because it helps with side effects. They later found out that it helps with like inflammation, and that's why my doctor recommended it to me. But I did have a girlfriend who had surgery recently, and because of this... the abuse, essentially, of pain medicine, she wasn't able to get it. They, like, just gave her aspirin. Because, and that, to me, is, like, what's frustrating about some of this is, like, people that actually do need it aren't able to get it.
They're definitely erring on the side of under-prescribing as opposed to over-prescribing, which sucks for certain people.
People that have surgery.
Right? Yeah, I mean, the thing, so these opioids and powerful pain relievers were originally created for people specifically post-surgery recovering in the hospital. And then Purdue basically found a single doctor's letter to the editor in the New England Journal of Medicine and took it out of context and made it seem like the doctor was saying that it's impossible to get addicted to these things when he was only talking about how well they work when you're like specifically being given it in the hospital post-surgery. And that was like what opened the Pandora's box, was them just miss, you know, among other things. But that was one of the tactics they used that became like the pharmaceutical industry's like go to. Like, look, this doctor said it was like 90% effective and nobody got addicted. But he was talking specifically about, you know, it being given to people post surgery. But yeah, now we're seeing a world where some people post-surgery probably aren't getting it, and they need it. And
the same with Adderall.
Sucks.
It's very hard to get now.
Yeah.
And for some of my friends that actually need it, there was all these articles about a shortage of it, and that is really frightening, I think, for people that have been taking it every day to suddenly have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we fucked up. Yeah. We fucked up a lot of these drugs.
Well, all these corporations, they want to be treated like people so they can, you know, put money in races.
Right.
Why don't you fucking arrest them?
Right.
You know, because if you're out here poisoning people with your drug dealing.
Yes.
Meanwhile, people are fucking going, doing crazy time for little bits of weed or crack or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you have, like, what kind of liability are they even open to? Just like financial liability, basically?
I think that's it.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not. I actually don't know.
I mean, on some level, yeah. I mean, like, there's going to have to be. I mean, there was that doctor who was charged in California, I think last year for overprescribing.
Right.
With like murder charges, I think,
or
manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, if they're the street level distributor, the doctors, when are you going to look at the supplier?
Right.
And then say, like, where are those real, like, you know?
There was a 60 Minutes story where they interviewed a guy who was part of some government, you know, agency that was specifically trying to do that, specifically targeting the suppliers, and just got insane pushback until he was moved off of the – he, like, led this agency and was moved off of the agency, like, basically fired because he was trying to do that. So America is just set up to let these sorts of people go free, but they absolutely are the ones who should be put in jail, and not necessarily, I mean, maybe also the doctors, but I mean, you're just getting the street level dealers and not the supplier at that point.
I wanted to say that movie that came out in 2010 with Jake Gyllenhaal, Love and Other Drugs.
Yes.
That was about Viagra, but the look at how doctors are swayed into prescribing certain medications is 100% accurate. I actually used to work in cardiac rehab before I went in comedy and used to work at hospitals. And it would be insane. It would be like a doctor and he has like the calendar of that drug and then the pen pad and like all of the like everything in his office would be for that drug. You know
outright,
what I mean?
Yeah,
branded essentially. And they would be and I even at I think I was like 18 or 19 knew enough to be like, nah, like
all this pharma swag you're rocking.
Like, what is this? You're giving me a hat of it? I don't need that, you know? But it is so go back and watch that movie because it shows that how they sway doctors into pitching and selling their products.
Yeah.
Here's your dilated iPad cover.
And for people who aren't familiar with Dani's backstory, you can see it dramatized in the movie Patch Adams about how she went from being a cardiac rehab specialist to comedy.
It's a comedy.
Let's talk about DNA testing, you guys.
What There's about it?
Scary shit going on.
People giving your genetic sequence up?
Well, so I don't know how scary it is. I mean, the way it's being used up to this point. So what's happening is that these DNA testing companies that we're giving our DNA over to are now, you know, working with the FBI. There was a recent story about how Family Tree DNA is handing the FBI access to its entire database. And they're basically like, all we're doing is giving them the same access that you would have to our database.
Hmm.
But they can also subpoena and get, like, even more access to everything, basically. And I mean, up to this point, this is how they've caught the Golden State Killer. This is how they caught the BTK killer, which I hadn't realized, but they apparently, the FBI subpoenaed his daughter's pap smear.
What? Oh, no.
And because they had the computer matched to like his church and they thought it was him, but to confirm it, that's how they did it, was they took DNA from his daughter. And that's the thing that is pretty crazy and sort of another Pandora's box type situation is that I've heard people talking about this recently. I think Chuck Klosterman and Bill Simmons were talking about it on a recent podcast, and they were saying, yeah, well, I mean, don't submit your DNA and like you'll be fine. But it's actually they can test your relatives.
Yep.
And if your cousin's kid does the DNA testing, they know the suspect's in your family and they'll be able to use process of elimination. That's how they caught the Golden State Killer. So, I mean, this is not to suggest that all members of the Zeit Gang are serial killers and you need to be watching out for this. But it is worth keeping in mind that the FBI wasn't always like the good guy battling American Hitler. They used to be like just 55 years ago, they were encouraging Martin Luther King Jr. to commit suicide by sending him blackmailed evidence that he was cheating on his wife. So these agencies can go in dark directions.
I mean, it depends on how our apocalyptic, like if you're thinking of concentration camps and if that might ever be a thing again and you have a certain level of DNA in you.
The one thing I will say about genetics is like we learn more and more day by day, even more. So like what seems is like, ha, it's cool to know like that it errantly told me I'm from this part of the world because like already that the whole like, oh, you're from this part of the world is already a little bit flawed because it's just using existing data sets rather than like this is where you are from.
Right.
You know, like that's where I think a lot of people see down the road, you know, what other information is there that we're not really aware of that's contained and how that can be used either to our benefit or to our detriment. But, you know, I will just believe my parents when they say they're my parents. Then that's how I'll leave it.
You know what? I had a science teacher because they taught us about the, you know, chromosomes and whatever. Like, what is it? The alleles? That was it. And somebody found out they were adopted from, like, it was a thing. Like, it wasn't possible that their mom and dad, like, with their eye color or whatever.
Right.
So they went home.
Oh, shit.
That happens. If you're a science teacher out there and that has happened to you, please let me know. Because people have said by teaching them, like, oh, no, that wouldn't happen because that's a reset. Like, you know, like, they'll play that game.
Right.
And it was like, okay, your mom and your dad, and I'll put the things down. And, like, somebody found out they were adopted from that.
From a science exercise?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Science is a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a story too. I think around Christmas, it was like a story. I think it was someone wrote an article about how like they bought an ancestry kit, and the mom freaked out and didn't want the kids to take it because they were then it opened up this whole other thing about like their dad might not have been their dad. So you know,
Miles, there was another name on my insurance card. I'm like, who is this? Wait, who is this other person? Here's my two brothers, my mom and my dad. Who is this other name? Turned out my dad had another kid.
Oh.
Did not know that till I was 22 years old.
Oh, wow.
So I asked when I was like 16 and my mom was like, she pulled it out of my hand.
Snatched that shit out.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you're like, that's not a normal response. You could have just said it was our cousin or something.
Like, I don't know. That's some dude your dad's helping out.
Yeah, we're helping him out or something. No, she like snatched and told me not to ask questions. And so kids know.
Yeah.
Kids
know. Secrets.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And guys, the big game was yesterday. I can't even get into it. My feelings are so complex. But another big event is coming up that we still have to look forward to, and that is the Hollywood Super Bowl, the Academy Awards.
The hostless Oscars.
Yes. And in the run-up to this year's Academy Awards, we're going to be doing a series where we look at some other inspiring performances from some of the
nominees.
Yeah. And we're going to start off with Mr. Jackson Maine himself, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. You know, the internet is a great thing and a great place because someone remembered and extracted a clip from when Bradley Cooper was just making his way as an actor and did an appearance on the FX show Nip Tuck. And in which he plays a character let's just play this interaction. This is in the scene, he is wearing a halo, actually, like an immobilizer, because he's had some kind of neck injury.
Okay.
And now he's talking with the two surgeons about some possible work.
You know, when I'm under, you guys wouldn't mind adding a couple inches in my pants.
You want a penis enlargement?
Well, unless you can lengthen my tongue.
You broke your neck trying to suck your dick, didn't you?
You broke your neck trying to suck your dick.
Where did you come up with that? That's just... I can't keep the charade up.
I can't keep what?
I can't keep the charade up. So yeah, he played a dude who broke his own neck trying to suck his own pee-pee.
Right.
So, you know, I think that to be fair, that was an Oscar caliber performance.
That was, man. Yeah. I mean, like, he just had to play a rock star for A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
There, he had to play a man who wanted to suck his own dick so bad he broke his own neck.
His own neck. And you have to have strong neck muscles to actually break your own, like just from the will to try and lick your pee-pee.
Right.
It's funny he took this role too. It was only 2 years after he did Wedding Crashers, right, which was like a huge, you know.
It was after he did Wedding Crashers?
Wow.
And it was 2 years before he did The Hangover. But like he's such a different person in The Hangover from, like then he was Bradley Cooper.
Right. Not the guy who broke his neck trying to lick his own dickhead.
His performance in Wedding Crashers is underrated.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I think that's the real him. Like, I thought that's who he was forever.
Right. Yeah. It's frightening to think if that is. But anyway, yeah. So, oh, guys, if Zeit Gang out there, if you know of other really petty performances we need to drum up for the Oscars build up, please tweet at us.
I can't keep the charade up.
Yes. So I read an article about Marilyn Manson in the 90s.
Right.
About how he had a rib removed to do it.
Yeah.
Turned out it wasn't real.
Hey, we've all been there. Am I right?
Yeah.
I like how the doctor is like, you broke your neck trying to suck your own dick, didn't you?
Didn't
you? Like that is the thing he's seen. Like third guy I've seen today who's
right
had this issue.
Like when he leaves the consultation office, he goes out in the waiting room, bunch of guys wearing the same neck immobilizer halo. And he's like, forget it, man. They can't do anything for us.
Right.
Shit.
That is, like, the real world version of that is just people sticking stuff in their rectum.
Oh.
That too.
I said pee hole?
Maybe they're pee hole, but
some people do that.
There's a lot of emergency room visits. Like, if you talk to a doctor in emergency medicine, they have removed all sorts of objects from people's butts.
Yeah. My sister-in-law is a nurse, and she said someone came in with a full onion.
A full onion?
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And it's just like...
Given new meaning to the phrase onion booty.
And you just have to trust them when they're like, I was cooking, and...
I fell!
Right.
I slipped from my kitchen counter.
How do I put this?
Brown eye down onto this onion.
Let's talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce's diet.
Yo, they're doing it.
They're really
out here
doing it.
Trying to really change the world. So they have Beyonce just, you know, put an Instagram post up last week that was basically saying like, you know, I'm doing this the Green Print initiative to have people like really try and embrace a vegan diet. Just start off small, do like maybe a plant-based breakfast, do meatless Mondays, and hopefully, you know, that will lead to greater change. Because if you start incrementally, you could go into a full-blown vegan diet. It's a great cause because also their website like actually kind of shows you like what you eating, what even one plant-based meal can do for like lessening the resource strains we have or clearing the air up and things like that. But the real hook here is that she's like, sign up to the website, you know, tell us about your plan to go vegan and you could win Beyonce or Jay-Z tickets for life.
Right.
And I think that is, if you're going to motivate people to give up meat, I think Beyonce's figured something out.
Right.
She's like, you can come to the shows for life. And then there's like an asterisk, 30 years.
Right. There are mixed messages because they're assuming that you're only going to live for 30 years, which,
right,
so, I mean, they're baking in the fact that we only have 12 years left because
true
of global warming into the equation.
I know. Yeah. And they would know.
Right.
Because they're in the Illuminati.
Jeez. Or maybe they just know that they're only going to be touring for 30 years.
Yeah. That might be it too.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, you should hear how my grandparents' friends talk, like old black church going people. They really, like initially were on some like, I think they worship the devil.
Oh, Jay-Z
about
and Beyonce.
Jay-Z and Beyonce, yeah.
Well, I mean.
Because of all those
Beyonce
music video
is a
things.
Witch, though. Like, didn't someone come out that one of her drummers or something like was saying that
that's
she.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
She,
her cat died or some shit. Wasn't that
she,
the thing?
Yeah. And Beyonce
I think that she
had
might
cursed her cat.
Be, not saying those two, want to specify, are not the same thing. Everyone thinks that witches are Satanist, but some of them are.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, she's powerful. She's a sorceress. However you got to get down, B. You
right
know? But I guess I didn't realize that they had all fully gone vegan. So good on you.
Right. So
her and Jay-Z.
Beyonce has gone vegan. And last year, according to sources that know, or at least a blog I found that acted like they knew, Jay-Z was having a little difficulty transitioning. And they said that, you know, he would order something that had some animal byproduct in it, and Beyonce would just, you know, change that order. She'd be like, actually, he'll be having a salad with
I like
she
that.
Can.
Beetroot.
Because she can.
She'll right be like, he will not be having that.
And also, I mean,
Sean, you know better.
I've been saying this for the past year. He looks good. Like, he just looks healthy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, whatever changes she's made in his diet,
it's those moon spells.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
I mean, look, I'll eat vegan like once a week. And when I look at this thing, it's kind of interesting. The website is kind of gives you a new perspective because when it's just sort of saying like, yo, if you eat two plant-based meals a week, it's the equivalent of having the environmental impact of like four trees absorbing harmful gases in a month. I'm like,
What frustrates me, and I live online so I can see everyone angry on Twitter, is that they're trying, in their heads, they're trying to do something that is actually helpful. That is like, our meat industry is insane and contributing to so much pollution. And so in there, but people are like, not everyone can afford that, okay? And I'm like, okay, but they're using their platform to try and help in some way. They could just shut up and not say anything. But instead, they're putting their money where their mouth is and saying, you can come to all of our concerts for free, you know, if you try this.
Right.
So it just, I think we just want to complain no matter what.
Yeah. Who was it? Somebody in the Zeitgang also put me on to, like, there are even movements to try and sustainably raise cattle, too, of, like, using the plains responsibly and trying, like, being aware of the carbon footprint of the cattle industry. But, yeah, I get, like, at the end of the day, they're trying to do something beneficial to the environment and for people. So, look, if you got to dangle the free tickets for life,
right,
then do what you got to do. I mean, there are certain things I couldn't, as much as I do enjoy vegan food, some shit I just have to, like, certain fish things I have to eat. You know what I mean?
What are the fish
Chicken
things?
Wings.
Sushi.
Sushi, thank you, because I'm Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I eat.
I was just making a racist assumption
over here. Sushi and chicken wings.
Yeah.
It's your boy.
I eat raw potatoes. That's my thing.
With a little bit of pepper, if I'm feeling real spicy.
Let's go out with Fiji Water, the Fiji Water girl who stole all of our hearts at the Golden Globes, or maybe made a slight ripple on your inbox or, you know.
Timeline.
Timeline.
Whatever.
So she was in the background of a bunch of celebrity pictures holding a Fiji Water tray. And I assumed that this was just accidental and she was just, you know, making eye contact with the camera to get her name out there.
Just photobomb, yeah.
But it turns out Fiji had actually basically choreographed this. So their plan was, we give out water on the red carpet, celebrities take the water, and then our brand is in the celebrity pictures. However, it was cold on the day of the Golden Globes, so nobody was taking the water.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you there.
Oh, weird. Huh. You must have missed me.
Oh, wait. You were the server who spilled wine on me.
Jesus. Yeah, and you weren't very nice about it, Miles.
I lost my gig at the Beverly Hilton thanks to you.
I just want to say before, like, this is dumb, though. People actually are not really holding water bottles.
No,
you give it to your assistant.
Well, yeah, right. She was
you
aggressive.
Take a sip,
yeah.
But like, what they're saying is, like, normally, I mean, it was cold today, but normally they'd be holding it in the phone. I'm like, nah, I mean, they might be as they're transitioning to another
Location, are getting,
but they're not.
They're drinking champagne.
Right. Yeah.
People are fucked
they're
off
handing
their faces
off
at the Golden
that,
Globes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, this was how Fiji or a Fiji representative justified telling this young woman to stand in the background of celebrity pictures and just serve the hottest looks at the camera.
Serve looks and the coldest water.
Yes. Hot looks, cold water.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, in the past week, I noticed that there's a cutout of this young woman in my local grocery store, my local Ralph's.
Really?
Yeah. Cardboard cutout. It was just like a Fiji Water display with her just being like...
Like just from the Golden Globe image.
Yeah, yeah.
So you and John Legend shop at the same place.
Yeah, me and John were picking up a few groceries.
For your babies.
John Legend does not go to Ralph's.
Okay? He does shop on his own.
He goes to Bristol Farms.
Oh, Bristol Farms.
Yeah.
And actually, now that I think about it, it was Pavilions.
Pavilions, yeah.
Yes. That's where
Pavilions.
But anyways, so I assumed, they signed her up. This was all part of a plan.
Right, right.
This was all figured out ahead of time by the wonderful Fiji Water Company, which, by the way, is water from Fiji.
And that's it.
And that's it. There's nothing special about water from Fiji. They just take water from Fiji and ship it across the world and, you know, cause all sorts of pollution doing that. And people drink it. So it is thought of as one of the least ecologically responsible companies out there.
Right, because we're shipping just fucking water.
Just water. Just that you could
find. Hey, it's
from
Fiji, though.
Yeah. So it's cool. Basically, the only thing that is special about water from Fiji is that it's from far away. And yeah. So it's just a flex, a pointless, purposeless flex. But anyways, so that company, whose entire business model is look cool by flexing on people about how far this water is shipped from, just did this whole thing, had the cardboard cutouts up in stores before they had even gotten this young woman's permission, and she is now suing them.
There you go.
So
don't let them make you a fool. They already made you a meme.
Right.
Out here with your tray of water.
She's technically right because, you know, as an actor or whatever, like you, if you, you're supposed to get paid for follow-up. So I guess what she was saying essentially is that they pressured her into signing something that, well, this is what she also alleges in the documents that Fiji offered her gifts to entice her permission and pressured Steinbuch into video recording a fake signing of a fake document to simulate Steinbuch signing on as a Fiji water ambassador. So she's saying, like, I didn't say that you could make all this money by making cardboard cutouts of me. Like, yes. If you're going to make cardboard cutouts of me, I should also be getting paid for those.
I need
those.
A check, and that's another agreement.
Right.
Unless they were, like, wild flagrant. I mean, like, there are also dirty business practices where they'll act like, oh, yeah, this is just for this one thing, and then you end
they
up signing everything in perpetuity for the rest of time across the universe.
Yes.
What's funny, though, is I remember at one point, they had an ad. I think that like the city of Cleveland got really mad because like it's called Fiji water because it's not bottled in Cleveland. And then like the city of Cleveland was like, fuck you, Fiji water. And then like had their people
do it. Oh, that was their ad?
They had like an ad that was like, it's called Fiji water because it's not bottled in Cleveland,
oh,
kind of to that effect.
It.
And then so the city of Cleveland like had some scientists do an analysis and like, oh, well, look, you got a little more micrograms of arsenic in your water than our Cleveland tap water. So
Cleveland
why don't you hold
is
that?
Petty. You don't,
why don't you hold
mess
that?
With Cleveland.
And then they came back like a couple of years later and like, well, we just did a study now and it's actually a lot lower. So like they got actually pulled into
oh,
this
no.
weird thing.
Right.
Leave Cleveland alone.
Right. So they've just got petty rich guys in a boardroom somewhere just being like, Throw them up. We'll get her to sign.
Yeah.
Change it so there's not arsenic in our water.
Yeah.
Yes. Her name is Kelly Steinbeck. She goes by Kellith Cuthbert for some reason. But
Cuthbert. It's Kellis Cuthbert.
Kellis Cuthbert.
Yeah.
And I'm just
lisping
very badly.
That's so weird that she has a stage name.
Yes.
And Kellith is a very interesting name.
It almost sounds like she was going to say her name and in the moment decided to do a.
Right.
A fake name,
right.
Because it's Kellith Cuthbert.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like when they ask Job when he marries Amy Poehler.
Right.
Like, quick, what's her name? Crindy. And they're like, her name is not Crindy.
I love that Kelly wasn't elegant enough. Like, your name's Kelly. No, it's actually Kellith.
Yeah.
Kellith.
Kelly is a fairly basic name.
But not Kelly.
You heard me, Kellys.
That sounds like what Kel from Kenan and Kel would like name his daughter if he had like a George Foreman kind of ego.
Right.
And this
right.
is my daughter, Kellith.
Yes. I'm just joking. I love all Kellys. Last and first named Kellys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to
very on
my
brand.
Raw potato eaters out there.
Oh, yes. Kelly Green.
Danny, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
Oh, I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez on all the socials and pick up. I wrote in a book that comes out this month.
Ooh.
It's called The Good Immigrant. It's a collection of essays from actors and writers of color. I was very honored to get to. It's The Good Immigrant USA because they had another edition that came out in the UK with UK-based writers and actors. Riz Ahmed actually wrote in it. It's
oh,
really
shit.
Great.
Okay.
And so ours comes
rapper.
Out. Yeah, his I think was called Airports and Audition Rooms because that was...
Mm.
Thing that he's had to deal with.
Yeah.
And so I wrote in that. So I wrote in The Good Immigrant, 26 Writers Reflect on America, and that drops February 19th. And then, you know, check out Ralph Breaks the Internet on digital and movies. Comes out February 12th and on Blu-ray.
Oh,
February 26th
Blu-ray
for you Blu-ray people.
Danny, you play a young woman by the name of Danny Fernandez in
I
Ralph
do.
Breaks the Internet.
I do. Yeah, I got to play myself.
That is... That's a flex.
I have nothing else to
oh,
do now.
Oh, me? I played myself in a Disney movie
and what's
that
the...
made hundreds of millions of dollars.
And which character do you play on your podcast, Nerdificent?
What's that character's
what's
name?
What's that character called? Oh, that's a different
I
personality.
I just love that I'm in a... It's nominated for an Academy Award, so I'm playing myself in a film that was nominated for an Academy Award. That is a flex. I'm going to say it because I will never probably be able to say that again.
Get it tatted. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, do an Oscar teardrop tattoo.
Ooh. Perfect.
I mean, that would be wild if you could say that again. If
you're just I mean, I don't know about myself. I'm not saying that I won't ever be in a film.
That's what I'm saying. Like if
I'm getting in.
If that becomes a trend now, like to like all Oscar bait movies are like, and we just introduce you as yourself, even though this takes place in the 50s and is about a racist driver driving Mahershala Ali across
America.
But Danny
Fernandez is also
starring
there.
Danny Fernandez as Danny Fernandez.
As Danny Fernandez.
As internet personality Danny Fernandez.
And Paul Giamatti as John Adams.
Right. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. Okay. I like a couple tweets. One is from Jabuki from last week because there was a measles outbreak going on in the Northwest and across the country and parts of Europe, it seems. And he tweeted, anti-vaxxers on here defending themselves like, if my child dies, that's my opinion. just the ridiculous wording of that. And also from Reductress, it says it's a photo of this dude just hitting a vape so hard.
Uh-huh.
And Reductress writes, vape god is unfortunately attractive. Shout out to you, attractive vape gods. Oh,
can man. I tell you, Jabuki is also in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
He is?
Whoa.
Yes, he plays a character called McNeely, but it looks just like him. Like when I saw him, like, I know that guy.
Right.
And then later found out it was Jabuki.
Huh. Wow, he is out here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they changed his name but not yours?
I think because I was playing a media host.
Oh, got it.
They wanted someone that actually plays a nerd host at a lot of these channels, so that's why.
Got it.
That's a flex on Jabuki.
He's actually in my scene. Anyways, go watch it.
All right, check it out, guys. They need the help. some tweets I've been enjoying from Shireen Yunus. Shirohiro666. I didn't realize that was her Twitter handle. I only type in lowercase because I hate capitalism. Haha. That was very good. You clever. From Rishikesh Irway, the host of the Song Exploder podcast, he tweeted, hear me out. The Masked Singer, but for the presidential primary. And then Rich Neville tweeted a picture of a bag that says, that I think I've had in my refrigerator at one point or another, stay fresh cheese bags. And he said, new thing, found something new to say when I leave a room. Stay fresh cheese bags.
Hey, that's stay really fresh cheese bag.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien, liking things like that. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talk about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Okay, well, it's Monday. Let's do,
do you have a case of the Mondays?
I got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, no.
But I just heard there's a song, a new Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yes. She got a song with Danger Mouse called Woman. And if you like Danger Mouse's production, it's very, sounds like a Danger Mouse production. And, you know, if you know, like, Gnarls Barkley, that's him and CeeLo. So this is like a, I don't know if they're doing an album. I don't know. I just saw this track come up. I listened to it and I enjoyed it. So this is Karen O and Danger Mouse called Woman.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.